We're looking at Hebrews 5, verse 1 through 10. 10 verses in Hebrews 5. And I entitled this, Jesus, Our High Priest. And I want you to see, in terms of qualifications, that sometimes people are guilty of just taking the very minimum qualification. You know, if you're going to hire somebody for a job, you say, well, you got to have a 25 on this, and they had 24. You go, okay, that's close enough. Or if you wanted somebody with this much experience, 3 years, and they only had one, you can say, I guess that'll get by, that's fine. But the qualifications in terms of a high priest was an entirely different set of facts in turn, unbelievably it was. But I want to show tonight that Jesus went far beyond what the qualifications of a high priest are. And that in doing so, he'll be our high priest forever. Now, there's kind of a division in the text I just gave you. I want to read verses 1 through 3 first. And let's establish there what the qualifications of any high priest would be. And then the rest of the verses, we'll look and see where Jesus and how Jesus met those qualifications, okay? Now, the gospel writers tell us, and what we read in the gospels about Jesus, there are a number of things we could take from that. We know that from time to time he was emotional. We know that from time to time, at least one time, he was angry. He could be indignant. He was consumed with zeal for his purpose here. He had compassion on people. He was greatly distressed and troubled at some things that he saw. He wept. We know that. He groaned. He was in agony. He was surprised and amazed at some things. And he rejoiced greatly, and he was full of joy. And yet he greatly desired, and he greatly loved. These are all things that we could say about, this is what we see from the Gospels about Jesus. Now, in his humanity, don't miss this, in his humanity, he was a lot like you and I. He felt those things that I just said and just read to you. But the difference being, sometimes our feelings get away from us and we find ourselves overtaken in sin. Never happened to him. Even though he felt such things and he suffered greatly, worse than probably we'll ever know, he never sinned. It never got close. You know, I've read some articles of people saying, well, you know, he might have let up here, he might have let up. Folks, he didn't let up at all. Not one time. Now, let me explain today. Jesus, I don't believe Jesus ever thought about sinning. It was not in his process. His divinity kept, he was human. He was having to go through things like we went through things, but without sin. I grant you, most any of us, or all of us in here, we can't go 30 seconds without thinking of something sinful. Some of you are trying it right now. Good luck. It's hard to do. Because the Bible says that our inerrant thought is sinful. And that's hard for us to understand and take. But that was the way it was. Now, Jesus, because he was that way, there are two things or two reasons that he could qualify in the role of high priest for us. First, it's because he could identify with us as to having gone through the things that we had gone through. Can I tell you that there's nothing that you will go through that Jesus Christ can't look and say, oh yeah, I know about that? Because he does. So he qualifies because he went through, understands the things we're going through. And secondly, he's able to encourage us to continue on in God's rest. We make our way through the wilderness of this world, and Christ is telling us, keep on, I can help you through this. Keep on, you know, keep coming to me, because he's the high priest. He's able to sympathize with us, strengthen us in the face of temptation. And the barrier between God and man has been destroyed forever and evermore. That's why we talked about Sunday here. You know, if he wasn't who he said he was, and he went in that grave, and he didn't come out, then we're all here in vain. We are. I mean, we have no reason to really meet. Now, look at the qualities of the high priest there in our first two or three verses there. Now look, it says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now hold up, just keep that up there. Now, in order to show you what a high priest's responsibilities were, we need to differentiate between a prophet and a high priest. Now, a prophet was a person that God talked to and God gave a message to, and he represented God to the people. He listened to God and what God had told him was going to happen and tell the people this, then that's exactly what he'd go do. Sometimes they took heed of what he said, sometimes they didn't, and they paid the price. But that's kind of what a prophet does. Prophet also foretells what's going to happen in the future. In other words, he could come to some of God's people and say, hey, you know, you better be careful 2 weeks from now because God has said this is going to happen. Or he's what called a foreteller, which means he can tell you something about what happens in the present, not just a future teller. So we know that about a prophet. Now, here's the priest's job. It was different. His job was to represent man to God, not God to man. This is what the high priest did. Now, they sure this. No priest in the Old Testament ever forgave or absolved anybody from their sins. That's God's job. Forgiveness is not the priest's job. The priest's job was to come before God on behalf of a sinful people, seek the removal of sin through sacrifice. They offer gifts and sacrifices for the sin. And as a way of doing that, do away with man's sin and thereby bring his relationship to God closer. Being that sin was the causative thing, would keep man away from God. It was standing in the way. So even in the Old Testament, here's some things we need to take from that. First of all, the high priest is appointed from men. Now, in this case, the high priest was going to be coming from God's people after Moses. The high priest was Aaron, and he was appointed by God. Okay, in the same way, Jesus was appointed by God. Now, this is kind of what the Old Testament priest did. He made sure that the people's sins were atoned for. In other words, there was at least one day of atonement, and the priest was he was told by God what you are to do to make sacrifices for the sins of the people. So he was a sinner. So he'd take a bull goat in there, and he'd have the blood of it on the Holy of Holies. He would have it in there, and he would carry that to absolve his sins. In other words, this has got to sacrifice for my sins. And then he would carry another goat in there to act and kill that goat to act as a sacrifice for the sins of the people that he represented. Then they'd take a third goat, and they would in some way ceremoniously tie off the sins of the people and send that goat off into the wilderness, never to be seen again. And he was called the scapegoat. He took all the sins with him. And so everybody's sin was... Now, I will tell you this. If you do some reading in the Old Testament, you'll find out that the people didn't listen to God the way they should have in a number of cases. And if they went into the Holy of Holies and they didn't do what God had told them exactly what to do, then they didn't come out. You get my drift? They had to tie a rope around their leg and pull them out, because if somebody went in there to get them out, they didn't come out either. It was a dangerous thing dealing with the Holy God, but it was exactly what the high priest was supposed to do, representing man before God. He offered the gifts and the sacrifices before God, the sacrifices for sin. So he interceded for man before a holy God. Now, the second thing he did in verse 2 and 3, we're going to look at, he was able to not only intercede, but he was able to identify with the sins. Well, that throws a cog. He himself was subject to weakness, and the fact he has to offer sacrifices for himself, he identified with the sins of the people. He understood what it was like to be a sinner because he was. This is the high priest. This person that was appointed, in this case, the first one was Aaron. He was a sinner, so he knew what the people were going through. Now, there's a lot of talk, if you read in Numbers, especially Numbers 15, chapter 15. You can do some reading in there. There's a lot of talk about unintentional sins and intentional sins. The unintentional sins, the one that just, oops, I committed a sin type thing, Those were called sins of ignorance. They were labeled to ignorance because the person did those. So the priest could go in and make atonement for the ignorant sins or the sins that were just committed accidentally or unintentionally. But I like that, put it that way better. And they could be dealt with. I will tell you this. I know what's on your mind. What about the intentional sins? Well, they were dealt with too. But the high priest didn't have anything to do with it. They were instructed, folks. You read back in Leviticus and Numbers, the high priest, they were all instructed. If somebody, they were caught in a sin that was intentional and premeditated, they took them out and stoned them to death right then. They did exactly what God had asked them to do. But these unintentional sins were a way to be removed. And the priest himself was a sinner, so he could identify with it. If you look in Leviticus 16:6, you'll see what I'm talking about the offering for the sins that are intentional. Now, every Christian, I believe, is now a believer priest before God, because we've been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ before God. So we are a believer priest. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are royal priesthood. You're a holy nation because of what Jesus has done for us and us believing in Jesus. Galatians 6:1-3 puts it this way, beautiful. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, that's an unintentional sin. Being overtaken, then, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. There's the gentleness, compassion of the Old Testament priest who can identify with a person's failings. Now, we're supposed to do that too. We're also supposed to bear up one another's burdens. But what's this tendency of society today, folks? Point blame and judgment. Am I right? Somebody does something, no matter whether it's intentional or not. Oh, I didn't. You know, first thing we say, I didn't do it. You know, some they did it. I didn't. So those are two things there. Now look at the scripture. He says he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. So he did have compassion. And Jesus understood that. Now, he says here, because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sin. That's what I was just telling you about, how he went before the throne, the Holy of Holies, on the Day of Atonement. And he said, no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was called by God. He's got to be called by God. Well, where does Jesus rank in that? He was called by God. He was God's son. He was appointed by God as high priest. Now, verse 4 through 6, I don't see the numbers on those. I'm not sure. Verse 4 through 6 tells us that Christ did not take the role of high priest upon himself, but he was called into position by God, just like Aaron was. Christ was appointed by God. He said in 5:5, he said, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." So he was definitely called by God to be the high priest. But Christ had an earthly connection, an earthly qualification that also set him apart. Not many people know about this. And there's a reason why. Just as the high priest in Israel had to be descended from Aaron's family in order to be the high priest, so too was Christ supposedly to be a high priest from a family on this earth. And this family was a man by the name of Melchizedek. I don't know if you've ever heard that name, Melchizedek. It's only in Scripture, like three different places. Now, I will tell you, in Genesis, Melchizedek is talked about here because Abraham had went against a coalition of kings which had captured his nephew Lot, and he raided them. They went and took the victory from all these kingdoms here because they had his nephew Lot, and they freed his nephew Lot, and they got him and brought him out. But on the way back, they met with a man by the name of Melchizedek, and when they did, Abraham offered him a tenth of the spoils that they brought in. Abraham offered this man a tithe. Now, where'd this man come from? Well, in the other books in the Bible, it only appears in Genesis 14, I think, Psalm 110:4, in Hebrews 5, and in I think it's Hebrews 7:3, we're told something really crazy about Melchizedek. He was without father, and he was without mother. He was without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remaining a priest continually. Melchizedek was an Old Testament picture of the eternal Christ to come. So Jesus is from the order, just like Aaron is from the order of Moses and Abraham. Jesus is from the order of Melchizedek. Now Melchizedek, if you look up, try to figure out more who he is, he was called the king priest of Salem. Now the word Salem was an early word that was given to the city of Jerusalem. So he's called the king priest of Jerusalem. He had no beginning of days. He had no ending of days. So he's still. Now, you know, I'm going to have more than that. No. You know, we're just going to have to believe exactly what the scripture says. That Jesus came on the order of Melchizedek is how he served. So he interceded for the people. He identified with the people. He was appointed as high priest. And he followed the line according to Melchizedek. And now verse 7 through 8, if we can, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He's talking about the human side of Christ. He said he learned things by what he suffered. And that's why he can identify with us. He learned what he suffered. And he used the term, I love that, in the days of his flesh, which means when he was a human being in the days of his flesh. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, and then some people look at that and say, well, you know, the prayer and the Garden of Gethsemane, how, does that go to that? It was just, you know, when he asked God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, he was being, his human side was showing. He knew what it was going to be like to hang on that cross and suffer the sins of all mankind. Now, no high priest should have to do that, should they? But Jesus, you know, Jesus asked that. But you know, just as quickly as he asked, Jesus said, whatever your will is, let it be done. Your will, not mine. Now, I believe in his human feelings about what lay ahead was in the asking for the grace to endure it is actually what he was doing. It was for enduring this suffering and enduring it obediently that Jesus was approved by God to be high priest. And he was approved. Now, what would have happened if he hadn't yielded? His entire ministry would have never existed. There would have never been anything like an Easter that we talked about just a few moments ago. But because he was obedient, the devil came again at the end of his earthly ministry with a temptation to disobedience. And again, he was faithful. In this way, Jesus, the last Adam, won back what the first Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. Everything that was lost in the first garden, it was regained in the last garden. And the last thing I want you to see is he is an accredited high priest. Hebrews 5, 9, and 10 there. It said, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus was accredited as a high priest. Now, that accreditation word just simply means that established or perfected by a standard is what that means. So he was established and he was perfected in the standard because he was perfect. And he will forevermore be our high priest before a holy God. For eternity he will be there. And he is in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus proved himself capable of representing us before God, one who can identify with us and therefore intercede for us on our behalf. Well, I'm thankful for that. Are you? You know, when you get, I can't handle this anymore. You know, you should have been letting him handle it the whole time anyway. But you know, I just love that. There was a man named Samuel Johnson. I just want to mention. Lived over 300 years ago in England and went to school at. He was a man of great letters and went to school at Oxford. In England, but he was very, very poor. Even though he was a good student and very smart, he was so poor that he couldn't stay in school. He eventually had to drop out. He'd work this job, that job, that job, whatever he could do to support himself so he could earn enough money that when he could get his way back in school. But his heart was so big. He struggled to earn a living because every time he saw somebody that was in the same shape he was in, he had such compassion for him. And he would go get him and bring him to live in the house with him. And at one time, you know, he had more suffering people there with him that he brought off the streets. And he didn't have any family. He just, all these people were his family. And because of the suffering, Samuel Johnson had such great passion on all other people. Because he had suffered and he had understood what it was like to suffer. And so he wanted to make that up to people. He was born into poverty, but he lived a common life and he suffered immensely as most human beings do. This is Jesus. I want to just read a few things and let you identify with these and then I'll be through. Through everything that went on, Jesus remained obedient and faithful to the Father, learning obedience through the things he suffered. He's Son of God. He's also the Son of Man. He's the Lord of glory, and he's the lowly Jesus. His throne is in heaven, but his birth was in a manger. He became poor that we might become rich. He came to this earth so that he could take us to heaven. He is Jesus. He's our great high priest. And I hope you know who that priest is today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pause before you now, Lord. We thank you for these comforting words, Lord, that's in Hebrews. And Lord, we are so thankful that we serve a Jesus that qualifies in every respect to be our high priest. And Father, the most remarkable thing is to me is you did this, Lord, and kept in mind everything that you had taught the Old Testament believers to do. You fell right in line so that they could understand that you did what you did through the very act of what they had been doing for years and years and years. And Lord, I'm thankful that when Jesus comes back, he won't be in a manger. Lord, he's going to be riding high on a white horse, and Lord, he's going to be king. He's going to be king forevermore. I praise you, Lord, for these that have gathered. I pray for them in their life. I pray for all the things, Lord, that we need help with. We praise you, Lord, for loving us so much. We ask all this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.